G8 leaders meet in France.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The leaders of the Group of Eight industrialized nations, Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Russia, and the U.S., have started their annual meeting in Deauville, France. There are a lot of economic and political items on the agenda, and we're going to get the latest now from David Shore. He's a senior policy analyst at the Stanley Foundation, and he's with us from Deauville. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, tell us about what the hot topics there are today at the G8.
Well, of course, they're figuring out how to respond to the democratic changes sweeping through Middle East and North Africa. Arab Spring is a hot topic. So is the euro crisis. They are talking about a new director for the IMF and aid to Africa, nuclear security, nuclear safety after Japan. Really a pretty varied menu.
And these are the richest nations in the world. This is going on in Europe. Do they tend to focus more on stuff like the European debt crisis than the Arab Spring or the things happening in the developing world?
In a funny way, the history of the G8 is to deal more with economic issues. But of course, now we have the G20, which is really where those are supposed to be dealt with, the old major industrial powers together with the emerging economies and the rising powers. And so that means that where we are now, an issue like the Arab Spring is more appropriate for the G8.
Well, we do have the G20. Do you think that the G8 is losing some of its relevance?
I think it's a struggle. They have to show their relevance. They're groping for a new role. You really have the question, what can you deal with? What problems in the world can you really effectively address when you don't have the emerging powers at the table with you?
David Shore, senior policy analyst at the Stanley Foundation, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, to New York State now, where legislators appear to have a deal to cap property tax increases. Supporters say the cap is vital to keeping homes in the Empire State affordable. But similar moves in other states have slashed public revenues. Sally Herships reports from New York.
Upstate New York is home to the highest property taxes in the country, and they've been going up by a lot every year. Columbia's Bill Emick says this hurts the economy.
We're losing jobs. We have an out-migration of graduates of all our universities because it's expensive to buy a house.
In the decade up to 2009, New York State property taxes rose over 5% a year. Governor Andrew Cuomo says he has a deal to cap the annual increase at a rate of 2%. But property tax is the primary source of revenue for New York schools. Wharton professor Robert Inman says if the state wonders what the impact of the plan would be, it should look at what's happened in California since that state passed its Proposition 13 in the late 70s.
California fell from one of the top three or four best-funded school systems in the country to now, I think, they're ranked 48th.
Supporters of the New York plan say it's more flexible than Proposition 13. Communities can vote to override the cap to raise school funds. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in overseas trading this morning, more than 1% higher in Tokyo after Sony said it'll make a profit in the next fiscal year. Sony lost $3.2 billion in the last 12 months. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 38 points to finish the day at 12,394.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
Well, another round of tornadoes swept through some Midwestern states last night, injuring dozens of people and damaging property. This is shaping up to be a record year for tornadoes in the U.S. But lest we forget, there are some major, though less dramatic, natural disasters going on right now as well. Historic floods and droughts are causing big headaches for farmers. And as Harvest Public Media's Tim Lloyd reports, they're likely to boost the cost of crop insurance.
Federal crop insurance was created after the Dust Bowl. The fear then was Mother Nature could wipe out parts of American agriculture. And even today, taxpayers subsidize around 60% of farmers' crop insurance premiums. Now, extreme weather brought on by climate change could up the ante.
You know, the unknown presents risk because insurance, what you're doing is that you're looking at your past and you're trying to use that to predict your future.
Bill Murphy oversees the Risk Management Agency, a subset of the USDA that regulates the crop insurance industry. Farmers now rely on that insurance to ride out tough years, and banks that lend to farmers rely on it too as a way to protect themselves from a bad crop season. Scott Gerlt is a crop analyst at the University of Missouri.
If there's more risk in the marketplace, we would expect to see premiums go up, which would increase the government subsidies.
So, here's the domino effect. Climate change means more risk. More risk means higher premiums, and higher premiums mean more tax dollars. Then there's the unknown. There are models that forecast how climate change will affect insurance, but most focus on America's populated coasts. That's a problem because most crop policies are held in the Midwest, and the price for crops like soybeans, corn, and cotton have never been higher. And that much money means there's that much more to lose. Just ask Richard Oswald. Oswald's tractor idles as he stands at the edge of his Missouri farmland that runs five generations deep. In 1993, his fields were underwater.
What a lot of farmers confront, farmers I've known who've quit farming, if we have 2 years in a row like that, everything we've worked our whole lives for can be gone.
And that vulnerability has record numbers of farmers signing up for crop insurance. Even without projections for more extreme weather, the Congressional Budget Office expects crop insurance to cost the federal government a whopping $77 billion over the next 10 years. That's almost twice what it was over the previous decade. In Kansas City, I'm Tim Lloyd for Marketplace.
And finally, to a new survey from the travel website Expedia.com, it says the average American worker got 18 days of vacation last year, but only used 14 of them. Compare that to the average worker in France who got 37 days and used 35 of them, or the average British worker who got 28 days and used 25. But here's the real shame. Even when American workers did take time off, 72% of them kept checking in with the office while they were away. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
After the financial crisis came a lot of insights, including this one. When the government backs private enterprise, oh boy, a lot can go wrong.
They benefited themselves all the while wrapping themselves in the American flag and saying that they were really benefiting borrowers.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Reckless endangerment in the rearview mirror. That's next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.